The following program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.
Portions of the following program may be pre-recorded.
I am Pastor Ernie Sanders, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. My radio broadcast, What's Right, What's Left, is coming up right now.
From Independence, Ohio.
We changed our life for the better in many different ways.
Heard around the world every Monday through Friday.
Pastor Sanders is always years ahead of the rest of the media, telling you exactly what they're covering up.
This is What's Right, What's Left.
I tune in every chance I get to hear exactly what's going on with the voice of the Christian resistance.
Unabashedly cutting through the rhetoric by exposing the hard topics facing our society and world.
A lot of the other news media don't pick up the news items like he does.
And bringing to light the enemies of freedom who are out to steal your rights, your children, and enslaving you.
You really get the truth out. I can tune into your show and hear the unvarnished truth. Thank you.
This is What's Right, What's Left with Pastor Ernie Sanders.
Good evening and welcome to another edition of What's Right, What's Left on this last day, the 31st day of January 2023. By the time this program's over with, we'll be into February. And tonight, our producer on the board, and he's doing it with Style, because that's his name, Style. Hello, Style.
Good evening, Pastor.
You know, Style, that's a cool name. It sure does beat Ernie.
I don't know about that.
Yeah. What are you laughing at? It beats Joe, too. Already. Okay. Well, he's doing it with
Style. The cat's got his tongue, and you scared him off.
No. You know, it's something because, I mean, there's you know, you hear like names like John, you know, John's referred to a lot, you know, that just another John came in today, or, you know, you got to go to the John or whatever, and then how many times have you heard, he's a good Joe, or you get a cup of Joe.
Joe, yeah, G.I. Joe.
G.I. Joe, but there's nothing out there with Ernie, just me and... Remember Ernie Ford or Tennessee Ernie?
Yep, good old Tennessee Ernie, yep.
And not too many, yeah. And now that's Ernie, not Bernie, because there's some bad Bernies out there, right?
That's bad.
There's a bad Bernie Sanders. Now there's a good Bernie, a good friend of Mike Cromer. He's a good Bernie. But that guy who took my last name, he's a bad Bernie. And with that, we gotta get into it tonight. So... do you remember the title of the message?
The title would be, If the Foundations Be Destroyed, What's the Righteous to Do?
All righty, we're going to pick it up looking at a big foundation tonight over in Matthew chapter 7. Starting, would you read verses 21 through 23 and then pause?
All right. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. But he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven, many will say to me that in the day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity.
Well, let me ask you this. It's interesting because... how can they cast out devils if they're not saved? And he's referring to people that are not saved, because he never knew them. So how could they cast out devils? At least Jesus says at least Satan would be divided against himself. So here, they were lying, weren't they?
Well, we've seen these miracle workers heal the sick and get people out of wheelchairs up and walking. We've seen kind of a modern-day version of that.
Well,
on television, even
it's not really the same. What that is first of all, what has happened when God heals? when God heals and Jesus says, stand and walk, you'll be whole. That leg will be whole again. It'll be made whole.
It's whole forever.
When these people do these things, that's not the case. The limb or whatever is still deformed. It's not made whole. It's always a counterfeit. And so they're never healed. It's a counterfeit healing. And so
often I've seen fake ones too, where you find out later the person wasn't really crippled, you know.
You mean like with Peter
before?
Like with Peter Popoff when he had the microphone out there and his wife would go out and she would be speaking and he could hear everything. He'd have his eyes closed and he could hear everything and he'd say, oh, there's someone here. Wait, there's someone. I'm telling you, there's someone here tonight that's got cancer. And they were just told today. But I'm going to tell you right now, you're not going to. The Lord has told me that you'll be healed here today. Well, it's because he goes out. He hears the conversation that is being made, and then he did this. This is what he was doing. He went to jail for doing that. Old Peter Popoff. I don't know if he's still alive. Do you know?
No, I don't, but I remember he went to jail.
Yeah, well, there's a whole lot of those prosperity preachers out there that they had all kinds of gimmicks. You name it, and they had it. Now, let me ask you this. He says, And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you that work iniquity. Do you know what that word there, the Greek, means, iniquity here? Usually
iniquity is sin.
Yeah, here it means lawlessness. You that work lawlessness.
Lawlessness.
So they're not. It's used the same. Same word in Psalms 55:5, and here also I believe in. Let me see. I think it's a Psalm 6:8. Well, 2 Timothy chapter 2, you find that same word used. It's lawlessness. And so pick it up in verse 24 and read it through 27.
Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man who built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came. And the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And every one that heareth these sayings of mine, and doeth them not, shall be likened unto a foolish man, which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell. And great was the fall of it.
And so, who is the rock that we build our house upon?
The rock is Christ.
Okay,
he's
so
the cornerstone.
And so, when he said this over in Matthew 16, upon this rock I build my church.
Right
now, that word he used there was Petra, huh?
Petra.
Yeah. Now, what does Petros mean?
Petros is a stone,
right?
Not a rock, a small stone.
So where
you see, the Bible calls us what? Lively stones, and we, the lively stones, are built upon the rock, the cornerstone of Christ, and build his living church.
So when he was referring to Peter, he said, upon this rock I built my church. Was he referring to Peter, Petros, that word there, or was he referring to the Petra himself?
Himself, because he is the rock. Peter was just a little stone like the rest of us that are built upon him. We build the church. We're all, like you said, we're lively stones, living stones, building a living church.
So Peter himself said that the church was built upon Christ, huh?
Right.
So
Christ was the foundation. Christ was the head of the church.
Why would it be impossible to build a church upon Peter?
Because he was human, weak, and like the rest of us. You couldn't build it on a flawed foundation. He's still in the body, and as long as we're in the flesh, we sin.
Well, Christ died. He was buried. Upon the third day, he rose, and he's alive, and he sits at the right hand of the Father. Peter was crucified. He died. He was buried. Did he ever arose?
No.
No. So Peter's dead, right?
Right.
Now, can you build something?
His body is dead.
Can you build something that's living on something that's dead?
Negative.
So it'd be impossible, wouldn't it?
It would definitely be impossible.
I knew that. All righty. So he says, therefore, whosoever heareth the sayings of mine and doeth them, I will. So what are the sayings? Because we just read the sayings of the Lord. This is what we're reading here, is the words of the Lord Jesus. And
he's
doeth
his
them.
His law, his doctrine, his, you know, he's got many things in Scripture that he tells us in many forms.
So is he referring to those that are obedient to the Word of God?
Yes.
So he's talking about obedience here.
Those who are doers of the Word, right?
Right, obedience. So what is the one thing, okay, from Genesis to Revelation, the one thing that God demands more than any other thing, from Genesis to Revelation?
Resistance to tyranny is obedience to him.
That's right, obedience to God, right? That's the one thing.
Resistance to tyranny, yeah.
Right, and resistance to tyranny, but obedience in everything is what he demands in everything. He demands it in marriage, he demands it in the family, he demands it in the pulpit, he demands it in government. He demands it everywhere, right?
Yes.
Okay. Why don't we now go over to 1 Corinthians chapter 3? In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, we read
just go 5 through 10 first.
Yeah, do that. 5 through 10 first.
Who then is Paul, and who is Apollos, but ministers by whom ye believe, even as the Lord gave to every man? I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundations, and another buildeth thereupon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon.
Okay, so let me ask you this. Should we rejoice in soul winning?
Yes.
So, rejoicing...
Even if we haven't done it.
Well...
Every time someone's saved, we are to rejoice.
Yeah, absolutely. But now, if we give somebody the gospel, we go out and we witness to them and they receive Christ as a Savior, should we be telling everybody about that? Should we be boasting about we led someone to the Lord?
No, we should say we were out serving the Lord and the Lord saved them.
That's right.
Salvation.
So it's the Lord that it's the Lord that giveth the increase, huh?
Right. He gives the increase. He tells us to go out and feed and water and, you know, keep working, but only he can reach in and open the heart.
So that word increase, what does that actually refer to?
Bringing a lost soul to salvation, one more person to join the living church.
All right. And he says, now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive own reward according to his own labor. Do we do that here on this radio program? When we give the invitation out there, you do it sometimes, and I do it. We work together on that. We're sowing seeds. You're right. For we are laborers together with God. You are God's husbandry. You are God's building. How would we be God's building? And in which way would we be?
I just kind of said, he being lively stones, we build this living church. So we are part of this building, which is the church. It's a living church that worships our living, risen Lord. So when he calls us a building, His church is a building of lively stones.
Okay, so we're a building. So within this building, who dwells within this building?
All the saved.
Well, that's true. But now, so we have, each and every one of us have are a building. We're a tabernacle. And the Lord.
Right. Oh, yeah. Each one of us separately, too, because we house the we have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit.
And
so we're our own temple. We're our own building in that sense, yeah.
Right. But it also says that Jesus is in all of us, too, through the Holy Ghost, huh?
I am in the Father, the Father in me, and I am in you. It's what Jesus said. So he made it pretty plain. I am in you.
Okay, so verse 11, he says, for other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, and precious stones, wood, hay, and stubble. Okay, so what do you think he means by gold, silver, and precious stones?
Well, those are the good things, the permanent things that have been refined. The wood, hay, and the stubble are easily destroyed, easily burned by fire.
Okay, so if we were talking about, he's referring to works, your works are...
Works, right.
Now, so wood, or so gold, silver, and precious stones are sacrificial. Like, would you say witnessing out there in front of an abortion mill, and especially in today's atmosphere where they weaponized the FBI and everybody against us, would you say that's that would be sacrificial?
Yes. So would be standing up in a school board meeting and fighting for the children, fighting to keep the sinful things away from the children. I can think of a dozen different things, trying to keep dirty books away, keep, you know, bad pornography from children, anything that you're doing that would glorify God and protect those who are created in his image, the children would be glorifying to him.
So those things that you were doing, like I've been arrested many times for preaching the gospel out there, and we've had many times situations where we've really had gone up against it out there at the prison system. The prison system in Ohio is not very pro-Christ, okay? And so, but what about missionaries? What about missionaries out there and all over this world, you know?
World, yeah. Missionaries, people that are, I've got some friends that have prison ministry through the CMA, Christian Motorcycle Association. They go out and they talk to all the people in the local jails, trying to keep them from, you know, going worse down the line. Anything that you're doing, whether you're helping somebody recover from drugs, alcoholism, anything that glorifies God, taking care of somebody that's sick, helping somebody in need, giving a coat to somebody cold, food to someone who's hungry.
What about
that glorifies God?
What about something that there's no risk of being arrested in, but it's something that's very laborious, like putting out a newsletter when there's a very large newsletter and someone who works really hard.
It spreads his word, yeah. It spreads God's word. It glorifies him. It helps other people possibly lead them to where the Lord can work with them to open their hearts.
Well, I'm mentioning, too, the physical aspect of doing this newsletter. There's a whole lot of physical work in collating and putting a newsletter together, sealing it, mailing it. I mean, there's a lot of it. You wouldn't believe how much physical work's in that.
Oh, and yes, so, I do. I've done some of it, and similar things are like out here, several of us in the church go out and cut firewood for people, the elderly widows, older people that are sick, can't, many of them, all they had was wood heat, and there's a lot of work, but we bring them something that keeps them safe and warm and lets them be able to stay in their home.
You know how I realized that I mean, that I may be getting elderly, Joe? It used to be when I would go to the doctor, I'd ask them questions and get for information. And nowadays it's different. Now when I go to the doctor, they're asking me for information and counseling. So it's things have changed a lot nowadays. Now,
if you're like me, you go a lot more often, and quite often the things that are wrong are very. He doesn't have to ask too many questions. They can see quite easily what some of the things are that are wrong.
Well, now let's look at this here, because it says, for every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and fire shall try every man's work, what sort it is, and if any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. So what happens if you take gold, silver, and precious stones and you put them under the fire?
Well, they're still there.
Well, they become more precious. Melt.
They may liquefy, but they're still gold, they're still silver, and the stones are still stones.
Well, gold and silver is tried by fire, and they become
purified.
Yeah. Seven times is what the Lord Jesus refers to. Now, here he goes on, and so the fire that works that we'd be talking about would be either the persecution for doing that, okay, the sacrifice that's made, whether in doing that would be the fire, would it not?
Right, whether it's your time, talent, money, whatever, those are your... Yeah, that would be the trial by fire, and those things that wood, stubble, and hay are things that really weren't much to begin with and crumble, don't last, and quite often with little or no effort.
Now, he's talking to Christians here. He's talking to Christians here. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet as by fire. And so... if I was to say to you, give me some examples of wood, hay, and stubble, how about prosperity preaching?
Well, I can't even see that that's wood, hay, or stubble because, well, maybe hay.
Okay.
You don't really preach the gospel, preach the truth. It's like somebody going by and a rich man tossing in $5 to the Salvation Army pot and say, well, there, I've been, you know, generous, I've given, you know, stuff like that, the fake things, the phony things.
Okay.
Easy way out.
All right, so if people have an attitude, look, I'll give God an hour or two on Sunday morning, and he needs to be satisfied with that, or...
Yeah.
So if you go to church on Sunday morning, you know, and or Sunday evening, whatever. So you go to church, you sit there, and you listen to the preacher, and the preacher tells you what God should have you to do, how to be doers of the word, not hearers of the word only, deceiving yourselves, and then you go home and you don't do anything. You don't do any of what you've heard, but you think to yourself, well, God must be pleased with me because I did go to church. Well, would you say that that's wood, hay, and stubble?
Yeah, pretty much. It's pretty close to just being hay. It's really not doing anything. You and I have talked about this. You go over the list of words that Jesus spoke, and almost everything is an active verb. He tells you to witness, testify, reprove, rebuke, stand in the gap, run to the battle, fight the fight. You know, I mean... preach, pray, everything that he says is an active verb. And yet, so many people think going to church is an activity, and even then, often they sit there and they don't really sing, they don't really pay attention, they don't really worship, they don't really give thanks, they're just there. So that's not even wood, hay, or stubble. I don't think the Lord even counts that as anything.
Okay. Know you... not that you are the temple of God, and the Spirit of God dwelleth in you. If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy, which Temple, you are. Hold tight. We'll be back right after this, and we'll finish this because it's got to be finished.
Now you've heard the story about the King of Kings, who was born of a virgin and above all things. Yes, he was, and he wasn't, and he is, and he's yet to come. And how he went to the desert and was tempted thrice by the serpent who was Satan and the father of lies. How he did all the things that he did, cause he was Yahweh's own son. He said, I am the way and the truth and the life. So they hung him from a tree till he was crucified. Then they carried him and buried him in a tomb 3 days and three nights long. And with a bang and a clang and a great big boom, the angel removed the stone from the tomb. And when they all went looking inside, well, Jesus, he was gone. And now you know there ain't no skeleton in Jesus' closet. The Father calls it for the Son to be redeemed. When you're resurrected from the grave, you leave no deposit. Yes, there ain't no skeleton in Jesus' closet. Now as the Spirit moved and the church caught fire and the gospel spread through the Roman Empire, that old devil's old world order was turned upside down. It seemed the more that he martyred and he crucified, the more the Holy Ghost of Jesus Christ was multiplied, until the gospel of the saving grace of Christ was finally spread the world around. All because there ain't no skeleton in Jesus' closet. The Father, he caused it for the Son to be redeemed. When you're resurrected from the grave, you leave no deposit. Yes, there ain't no skeleton in Jesus' closet. Now the Muslims say it's down to Allah you bow. The Hindus pray they'll come back as a cow. The Orientals say only Buddha's the way. But what are they gonna say on Resurrection Day? Now the world's got leaders that are trying to lead, but the truth of the matter is they're all deceived, cause they've all got secrets in their past they're trying to hide. So when Satan steps up to make his deals, he threatens to tell all the other big wheels, so they all conspire together to save their own hides. But you know there ain't no skeleton in Jesus' closet. The Father had caused it for the Son to be redeemed. When you're resurrected from the grave, you leave no deposit. Yes, there ain't no skeleton in Jesus' closet. Yes, there ain't no skeleton in Jesus' closet.
And you can bet your life on that. In fact, you are. Alrighty. So, Joe, if he says this, you know... know you not that you are the temple of God, that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy, for the temple of God is holy. Now, he's talking to Christians, and destroy means he's going to kill them if they defile it. Does that mean they lose their salvation?
I think, well, I've heard two things. I've heard... it said that some of these were people who were in church who professed to be Christian, who really weren't, but they put on a show and act, but they're really not saved. And, you know, the prospect for them is kind of terrible. They're going to go to hell. And if a saved person, you know, goes out and does something that totally defiles the temple, he is able to go to the Lord and repent and be forgiven.
Okay, I'll give you...
one to him that doesn't repent.
Okay, so if the Lord takes him out, he doesn't lose his salvation. You can't lose your salvation.
He can be taken out.
Oh, yeah. In fact, the Lord tells you specifically reasons he will take you out. Now, in defilement, let me just ask you this. The defilement, what about sexual sins? Is that defilement?
That's defilement.
What about...
adultery, you know, any kind of fornication, sodomy, anything like that.
Okay, what about Hunter Biden was a crackhead? What about being a crackhead?
That was defilement.
Okay, what about getting all...
prostitution, any of that stuff is defilement.
What about if you take all those metal things that these young people put in their nose and their ears and their lips and, you know, all this metal put, is that defilement?
That's defilement, because Scripture said all those things, tattoos, piercings, were what, how they identified slaves. And God said, we're not slaves. We are made free by Christ.
Okay, so now, what about when they take these young girls and try to turn them into boys and young boys and try to turn them into girls? And is that defilement?
Defiling the image of God, and the people that encourage it, that help, that do it, are, well, they're damning themselves.
You're absolutely right. All righty.
And I think there's a special place in hell for people like that, because God, Jesus said the little children are his until they're old enough to be the age of discernment where they can decide for themselves. And when you have all these adults starting off with all these little children leading them on the wrong path, what does Scripture say? Jesus said it'd be better that the millstone be put around their neck and they'd be dragged through the depths of the ocean. Sounds like the Lord would not be happy with these people.
Millstone weighed 4,000 pounds. It would really be tough to swim with that around your neck, right?
And it's a deep ocean out there.
Alrighty, here you go. Speaking of defiling body, what about this? Canada leads the world in organ donation after euthanasia. Reporter Marnie Katchart wrote a commentary on a recent study published in the American Journal of Transplantation, an increased trend of organ donation after euthanasia. Katchart was published by the Epoch Times on January 17th. Katchart wrote, Canadian patients who opt for euthanasia provide more transplant organs than any other country globally that allows physician-assisted suicide, according to the first international review of medical assistance in dying.
Even over China with its what they were doing to the Uyghurs?
Yeah, even over China, I guess. Yeah, wow. Canada's
that's
is huge.
Be bad.
Yeah, Canada legalized euthanasia in 2016, became a world leader of the practice in 2022, with record numbers of people committing suicide. I can see with Trudeau there, I can see why they'd want to commit suicide. With physician-administered, so they call it a physician-administered suicide or lethal drugs. What did we just read? What did we just read? What did they just call it there? With our bodies?
I can't think of the word.
Defilement. Defilement. And this is...
I could think of was desecration, and I knew that wasn't right.
Well, that's that too, because they're desecrating the temple of the Holy Spirit.
Pretty close, yeah.
Yeah, and so here, as of May 22, 8 countries in the world allowed death by intravenous practitioner administration of lethal substance, the type of made compatible with subsequent organ donations. And this country happens to be one of those. 5 years ago, patients had to be facing imminent death in order to avail of the procedure. That's not the case anymore. As of last year, Canadians who wanted to help to end their lives did not have to suffer of terminal condition. Instead, they could qualify for what they call MAID, with a serious...
Medical aid in dying.
Yeah. There you go. Death. It's all about death, huh?
Yeah, well, here's to back that up. Man seeks assisted suicide over gender transition regret in Canada. The decision he made cannot be reversed or relieved. The person known as Duchess Lois wrote that he was seeking MAID because his transition is not reversible. He said, I'm accessing MAID as a sterilized First Nations person of Treaty 6 There's a post-op transsexual woman of 14 years. I qualify for it as someone who is sterilized, who has undergone vaginoplasty, two things that cannot be reversed or relieved. And so he's applying to be put to death by the state. And they approved that, yeah, he qualifies.
All right, so
they're going to he or she, whatever, has been referred and is awaiting treatment.
All right, let me ask you this. We can't fix stupid, but we can fix what stupid does. Now, voters are very, very clear, Joe, because Joe Obama and the Communist Party are saying that unless the government goes ahead, unless the Republicans vote to raise the spending limit again, that we're going to shut the government down. They'll shut the, you know what? I say shut it down. Shut it down.
Oh, the majority of people surveyed by a huge majority said shut it down. They're sick and tired because they've seen this play before. The Dems wait till the last minute to do anything, and then, oh, we must do it or we're going to default. They say the same lie every time. We're going to default and blah, blah. And the Republicans always say, no, we'll make sure that that is paid. Our debts are paid, that Social Security and the military are paid. But a lot of these other social programs and things aren't. But they always threaten, oh, you know, nobody's going to get their Social Security check. And we're going
to You know, Joe, Joe Obama was at the World Economic Forum, and he was saying how, when are we going to, we've got to cut the food supply. We've got to cut the food supply. He was saying that. Tucker Carlson played him right on the air doing that, okay? But when it comes to this, well, Joe Obama loves pork. The Democrats really love pork because they fill, I mean, these budgets got all kinds of pork, just absolute building bridges to nowhere, you name it. I mean, just stupid, stupid studies that everybody's getting a little piece of action. You know, and they get kickbacks. I mean, it's just unbelievable.
Well,
and so,
same thing with the whole new Green Deal. Most of it is enriching the supporters, those people that have certain businesses that support the new Green Deal. They're going to get rich off of this. It's the same thing we talk about, we've been talking about for 10, 15, 20, 30 years. It's follow the money. Money, the love of money is the root of all evil, and this country has sold its soul for the love of money. The corruption in politics, business, everywhere you go. What? You look at what's underneath? The corruption, the love of money. These people sell out their family, their country, their whoever, the citizens of the nation, for money.
No, not just this country. Zelensky was out there in that World Economic, and he was literally saying, look, we can make a lot of money. We stand to make a fortune off the war there in Ukraine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And we've already done that story about a lot of the Ukrainian oligarchs are getting rich, buying property around the world, buying yachts, mansions, and they're getting rich. Their nation's getting poor, totally destroyed, but they're getting very, very filthy rich. Just like the rich Russian oligarchs, there's not much difference.
All righty. Let me read the article here. So here we have Democrats control Congress in December adopting a $1.7 trillion spending program for the government with billions and billions and billions of perks for their constituents. They knew it couldn't happen under the existing statutory debt ceiling, but they ignored the looming roadblock. And now the Republicans are at the House majority. Democrats are telling them to fix the problem, raise the borrowing limit. Joe Obama, through his spokeswoman, has said that there will be no negotiations over the fiasco. Republicans, for their part, would like to see some spending cuts adopted at the same time. I'm hoping the Republicans stick to it. I'm hoping they shut the government down. Biden is using the threat of government shutdown to try to apply pressure to the GOP, but what about the voters? They are, after all, the ones paying the tab, as government itself has zero income without taking it from someone else. So they're telling the power brokers, go ahead and shut it down. That's exactly what the
nothing bad's going to happen until sometime in mid-June, because they always have games they can play, and they can move the furniture and rearrange the deck chairs. As we get closer to the middle of June, I don't remember the exact date, but it's sometime in June, that's when things really get bad. But and even then, like I said, the Republicans, there's enough money coming in that the essentials can be paid. We can pay the debt that we owe the Russians, the Chinese, and whoever. We can keep Social Security going, the VA going. But large things like the Department of Education, transfer, you know, a lot of things, there wouldn't be money for it. But the world will not come to an end if the this passes. So if the Republicans just get out there and tell the people the truth, tell them that we're trying to protect the future to keep, if they raise this debt ceiling, Biden wants to raise it, what was it, some other $15 trillion or some incredible, crazy thing, they're going to destroy the country. So the Republicans,
right now, Joe,
need to
right
take their heels in.
Right now, the current debt, right now, the debt right now is $31.38 trillion debt. And that was the debt ceiling, and that was reached last week. It went over it. But now here's the interesting thing. 66% of the people, 66% of the taxpayers, the populace, say shut it down, that it's the government. They believe the debt is high because of politicians' unwillingness to reduce government spending. That was three times higher than the 21% who blamed taxpayers. The 21, there's got to be 21 who blamed the taxpayers. These people are amazing. They must all be working for the federal government, or they all have
They're
to be.
Part of the deep state. Yeah. Well, when you look at it, that debt, Pastor Ernie, is about $94,300 per citizen. Now, not all citizens, the children and stuff don't pay taxes. So the debt per taxpayer is $246,867. So, folks, all of you out there listening to me, if you are a taxpayer, if you just write the government a check for about $247,000, we won't have a problem. But the trouble is, some of us couldn't write a $247,000 check, and let alone have anything left over. And so if you look at it, if you think about it, that is a lot of money, and all it does is every day, every minute, every hour, it goes up and up and up, and it's being passed to your children, to your grandchildren, and there's a point at which that debt will collapse. It will be, the interest on that debt will be so high, it will take up all the extra money in the federal budget. In fact, they're saying it's not going to be that far in the future, that the interest on that debt is going to be so unmanageable, because as it increases, just think of interest payments on your house as the rate of interest goes up from, the little, what was it, 2.5-3% to 6-8%. Look at what the difference it makes in a house payment. It does the same thing for the national and federal government for the payment on our debt.
All right, Joe, I've got to make an announcement now. The Right to Life Action Coalition of Ohio, which I am a part of, has an announcement. Urge GOP, remember how we were telling people, warning people that the rhinos, right here in our county out here, the rhinos in the Republican Party, sent out letters to people to have to vote to the Democrats. The rhino Republicans sent letters to the Democrats urging them to vote for these Democrats as Republicans, urging these. And so they had these Democrats ran as Republicans to beat the conservatives. And guess what they did? They did that here at a state house in Ohio. Ohio Republicans in the state house of representatives are embarrassing themselves. They are forfeiting a golden opportunity to promote conservative pro-life legislation in Ohio over the next 2 years. In November 2022 elections, the GOP actually gained 3 seats in the state house, further strengthening their superior majority from 64 to 67. In the wake of this strategic victory, the House GOP caucus unanimously agreed to support conservative Derek Morin. I remember this, from the Toledo area, as the new Speaker of the House beginning in January. Morin, age 36, has established a strong conservative and pro-life record, including supporting the life at the conception bill and a 6-week abortion ban in the House. In totally unprecedented move, on January 3rd, 22 Rhino Republicans, Rhino, and all 32 Democrats elected Jason Steffens, a Rhino Republican. They say best described as a moderate, as its new speaker. Those 22 Rhino Republicans betrayed their November caucus promise to support Morin. They were joined by all 32 of the Democrats in the chamber, thus giving Steffens a shocking 54-42 win over Morin. Republicans, you know, first of all, I don't think that's legal. I don't think they can do that. I don't think they're allowed to caucus. You can't, if you're a Republican, you can't caucus with the Democrats. Okay, anyhow, that's what they did. Well, they caucused with the Democrats.
Well, look at the federal government when they went to elect the Speaker of the House. It's the total of all the votes. Who gets, you know, so the Democrats all voted against, and, you know, so I guess you can, I don't know if it's caucusing or your vote still, you can vote any way you want. You're free to vote as you please, I think.
No, voting for the Speaker of the House is different, but what you're talking here, no, caucusing, when you have a majority here, in fact, the Democrats had, let me see, 32. There was 32 Democrats and 22 Republicans voted with them. That means they caucused with them. They caucused.
Okay,
so,
all right. Wasn't just the voting then, yeah.
Since the coup by moderate Republicans and Democrats on January 3rd, Speaker Stevens has tried to silence the whole voice of the majority of the Republicans. Our conservative voice is being silenced by these turncoat Rhino Republicans and their Democratic friends.
You said the word coup, right? Coup is usually illegal. It's usually not following procedure, not going along with the true vote, the real process.
Right. Now, this coup, I'll go back. Let me do it again. This coup by moderate Republicans or Rhinos and Democrats. On January 3rd, Speaker Steffens has tried to silence the voice of the majority of Republicans. Our conservative voice is being silenced by these turncoat Republicans called Rhinos,
yep,
and their Democratic friends. The correct solution is for Republicans to close ranks, and honor their previous commitment to Derek Morin, uphold conservative principles, and to continue the legislature's record of promoting pro-life legislation. The only way for this to be done is for us to urge our GOP legislators to close ranks around the popular Derek Morin and abandon Jason Stevens, who, by all accounts, struck a deal with the Democrats to gain all their votes for Speaker. Okay, so here's what you do. If your state representative is one of the 42 Republicans who voted for Morin, you will be thanking him for his vote and urging him to stick with Morin. If your state representative is one of the 22 who abandoned Morin and us, you will be urging them to reconsider and close ranks with their fellow Republicans. If your state representative happens to be one of the 32 Democrats, there's no message for them at all. Okay, so here's the number, folks. 614. This is the Ohio State House. You need to call your state rep. 614-466-8842. Again, 614-466-8842. Here in Ohio, you need to do this because we have, you know, Ohio has a very pro-life state, but with the guy that's in there now is not. We got again, betrayed by rhinos.
And how many times have I heard you say that over the years in Ohio? It seems to be the trail is the rule of the day in Ohio politics.
Yeah. Yeah, we have that, and so
Bill, I could think of a dozen other subjects you guys were betrayed on.
Yep, absolutely. And so, folks, again, you need to call your state representative in Ohio, 614-466-8842, 614-466-8842. Ask them. Now, we're talking about your Republicans. Ask them, did you vote for Marin as a state for the Speaker of the House? And if they say no, tell them how you feel. Tell them you feel betrayed, because they betrayed.
Prior to this betrayal.
Yeah. We're coming up to a break. I'm sorry, Style, how much time do we have there?
Three.
Okay, so, all righty, we got that in. And we're coming up.
Do we have a minute?
Yeah. Excuse me. Yeah, go ahead, Joe.
I told people on that debt clock that the debt per citizen was about $94,282. The revenue per citizen is $13,700. So think about that, folks. If that were your family budget, your debt over $94,000, your income $13,700, you're doing something really, really stupid, and there's going to be a hard crash, and it's going to come soon.
Yeah, it is. You're right, Joe. But you and I won't live long enough for them to get it out of us. But
yeah,
but
our kids and grandchildren, that's
should,
what I worry
should the,
about.
Yeah, well, should the Lord tarry. Yeah, but anyhow, we've got a clip that's coming up. Now, I don't know about you, Joe, but I really, really am fed up of hearing Trump supporters being referred to as idiots. What did Obama Biden refer to us as? White supremacists?
Yeah.
Or what was it? What did he say? Semi-fascist. He referred to us as semi. I'm really fed up with that.
There's been a bunch of names. I try to ignore them, but you're right. There's been a couple that are even worse, but I can't think of them right now.
Well, we're going to take a little listen after the break when we come back from the break. There's a very interesting fella who will be taking a very close look at that and see if you don't associate with that and feel the same way. Meanwhile, I wanted to remind you that the top medical journal, Human, says human life is no more important than animals, okay? And so this is what those at the World Economic, Bill Gates and the others believe, that people are no better, we've got no higher value than animals. In fact, a rat is as a pig and a dog is as a boy. Now, where's PETA? I haven't seen, where's PETA in all of this, okay? So,
crickets.
Yeah. Alrighty, we'll be coming up.
Pig is a boy, yep.
Alrighty. We'll be back right after this. Don't go away. A whole lot more to come.
Fight the fight.
Thank you for listening to What's Right, What's Left, the voice of the Christian resistance. To support this ministry, head to wrwl.org. That's wrwl.org. Mail your donations to What's Right, What's Left Ministries, 14781 Sperry Road, Newberry, Ohio, 44065. If you missed part of tonight's program, you can check out the podcast at thewordcleveland.com. TheWordCleveland.com. Once again, thank you for listening and supporting What's Right, What's Left Ministries, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. The second hour is coming up next.